Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Herb Talk with your hosts, Stefan Brown
and Eliza Trevisano.
We'd like first to inform you, since we will be talking about medicinal herbs, that
the information contained in this program is meant for educational purposes only and is not meant to treat, diagnose, or prescribe for any illness. If you have any healthcare concerns, please consult your healthcare professional.
That said, we'll begin our show.
Is it that time
School's
already?
School's in! Take your seats!
Welcome to another edition of Herb Talk here on 92.1 WOMR Provincetown. Coming to you from the old schoolhouse, it's Eliza Trevisano and
Stefan Brown.
We're going to talk a little more about
herbal gardening.
Yeah, gardening. Yep.
A subject near and dear to our hearts. We love to get down in the dirt, boy.
Yep. We've got about 50 varieties of medicinal herbs growing at the herb farm in Brewster, and we want to talk to you a little bit about how to garden with herbs, what different herbs like, which ones spread prolifically, stuff like that. Give you some idea. It's really easy to plant your own herb garden, so I want to just give you some information about that in case it's something you're interested in.
It's so easy, and they're so tolerant of us.
Yeah, they are, which is good.
They are not tender like basil or tomatoes or whatever else you grow as a culinary herb. The medicinal herbs are weeds.
Yep.
And it's easy to grow weeds.
Yep. They're very tough.
Yep. They're very forgiving of us.
Yep. Yep. And oftentimes with medicinals, and then also some other herbs that are high in volatile oils, stuff like a lot of your culinary stuff, like oregano, rosemary, things like that. Even lemon balm, which is really high in essential oils. I notice at different times of the year, after we have a lot of water, the leaves, if you take a leaf from lemon balm, which is Melissa Fishinalis, maybe we should just talk about that since I just jumped right in there.
Lemon balm.
Lemon balm, that's
I love lemon balm.
Herb.
Oh, you pick a handful of that, put it in a cup with some boiling water, and you have the most yummy, spirit-lifting tea.
Yeah, it's just delicious.
Most herbalists call it the cheery herb.
Yeah.
Because it's a mood elevator, it's a spirit lifter.
Yep. So it's great. Also, it's really good for herpes virus.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Topically, really good for cold sores and stuff. Yep. But that's one. Oh, I was gonna say, certain different times during the summer, after we have a lot of rain and stuff, I've noticed that the lemon balm leaves aren't as pungent, aren't as potent, rather, with essential oils as at other times when they're really dry. So that's another thing, nice thing about herbs, especially the ones high in volatile oils, is that if they get less water, sometimes they become stronger. Just like you were talking about.
I hear them talking to us again.
About
that's true. If the best rosemary and thyme and what else from the Mediterranean?
From the Mediterranean,
region.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oregon. They're grown in blazing sun in a very arid environment. And in order to protect themselves from the heat and from the blazing sun, they produce these wonderful, fragrant, yummy, volatile oils. That's what protects the plant from the sun. So the harsher the climate, the better the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's generally true with medicinal herbs. The more the plant has to work, the more it builds character. That's what I think of people. The harder your life has been, the harder you've had to work, the more character you have.
That's because we're from New England. That's
pampered,
why we think that.
If you're a pampered child that's had every damn thing that you could possibly have dreamed for and life has been easy for you, you don't have character.
Unless you're a pampered child and you're listening to this show right now. Just kidding. No, but it's a very Northeast. I mean, it's true. It definitely builds.
The harder you have to work, the plant has to work, the better the medicine it produces.
But maybe we just think that because we live in the Northeast and it's our rationalization to get us through
winter. No. Professor He in China did experiments with ginkgos.
Oh, really? Oh, no, I don't mean about the plants. I just meant about people.
Oh, about people.
Yeah, exactly.
About we.
Right.
Okay, there's the hook.
But anyway, it's
so
true.
They're easy to grow.
They're
easy to grow. But the lemon balm, oh my gosh, that is just popping up all over the farm.
Yeah.
You start with two little patches of it, and now it jumps everywhere. If you want lemon balm, come down to the farm in Brewster and get some lemon balm.
Yeah, we would give you some
because
we have tons of it. Tons of time. And it grows everywhere. It grows well in shade.
Yeah, it likes a little bit of shade. It'll grow in sun. We've got it in pretty full sun, but it likes a little bit of shade and likes moisture. It's the mint family.
Yep, mint family. Yep.
So anywhere mints grow, which is moist, shady areas. Right. Not real shady, but
partial shade.
Partial shade, yeah. Yep. Lemon balm, Melissa. Very good for the nervous system. Get your mood up a little bit. As Liza said, it's in very concentrated form. It's been shown to be effective with herpes viruses. Valerian's another one that's been jumping all over the farm. Very easy to grow. Now, most people, when they think of valerian, think of the very pungent smelling root that smells like sweaty gym socks.
Yeah.
I think it smells like the earth, but most people think it smells like sweaty gym socks. But that's only when it dries, when the root is dried.
Yep.
The fresh root does not have that same odor. So that's pretty interesting. But the blossom of valerian, oh, it is so sweet and yummy.
It's very sweet. If you like lilies, I think you will like it. I myself find it a little cloying. But on the breeze, I love it. If I smell it on the breeze, I love it. Up close, it's too perfumey for me. But most people I know, absolutely, it's a lovely scent.
And it's a wonderful plant for the back of your garden since it grows to, we've had it up to almost 5 feet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's beautiful.
Five feet high, so it's a nice background for your garden.
It has kind of a pinkish white flower.
It's pretty white.
Yeah, I think. It's really pretty. Really pretty plant.
Yep. And, of course, very valuable as a nervine relaxant herb. Anti-inflammatory, anti-spasmodic, cramping, that sort of thing, muscular pain, headaches, insomnia. So many uses for valerian. And so easy to... That one likes full sun, but we have it growing in... Even our sun garden is
partial shade. It's partial shade, yeah.
Got that big maple tree there. We haven't thought of a name for him yet.
No, we should.
If anyone can think of a good name for a huge Norway maple that's growing over our garden,
give us a call.
508-896-5900. That's the number down at the farm.
How about Angel? Oh, Black Cohosh.
Black Cohosh.
That's a beautiful one to grow. That's another one.
Yeah.
That's one you want to start from roots, really. Or plant, you know, get plants or get
root.
It's not hard to start from the seed. Yeah.
Seeding it is really fussy. Horrible germination on that.
But that's a, wait, what is it? What is it?
Simisifuga racemosa. Gosh, I love that name. Unfortunately, name. They recently, in the past 5 years, I think, change the botanical name of black cohosh to something that doesn't sound nearly as poetic as Simisifuga racemosa.
Those botanists. You're a botanist. Then you're I'm a botanist. They like to change the names of things, which makes herbalists crazy.
Yeah.
And then we make...
Not that we're crazy already.
We make botanists crazy because we're talking about, oh, this plant, and it has leaves like this. We could use one botany term and cover it all. So it's mutual.
But very easy to divide from roots. Get yourself a big fat potted plant, put it in the ground, grow it for 1 year, and then dig up the root and split it up, and you'll have a half a dozen more plants.
And they're gorgeous.
And then the next year, you've got a whole huge yard full of them.
Yep. They have big, tall flower spikes with white flowers that come off.
And the nursery business, just they call beautiful. It fairy candle.
Mm-hmm, fairy candle.
This long, fuzzy spike flower.
When do they bloom?
Gorgeous.
July.
Yeah, they're late June, I would say, probably. Not too much June blooms in July. It's mostly late June as far as we go.
Wood betony is another nice one to grow.
Oh, wood betony.
It's a nice border
plant. I don't know
why,
but you know, all of us have what we call herbal allies. And these are plants that we just... Hello, I hear you. These are plants that we just have an affinity for. We love them. We don't know why. And you will find that. The more you begin to learn about and study the herbs, the more you will find ones that you just love to make tea out of, to be around, to grow. And for some reason, for me, it's wood betony. It's a good nervine herb, good for headaches, sometimes called a headache herb. But it grows in a beautiful clump with dark green foliage that holds its dark green color right through the summer.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, in the blazing sun, a plant will reduce its amount of chlorophyll and become sort of a faded green. But wood betony seems to hold that nice dark green color right through the summer. And it puts up a blue spiked flower somewhat similar to lavender. although the flower is on the end of the spike, whereas lavender is along the spike. But in a mass planting, wood betony is just fantastic for a border or in a mass planting in your garden. It makes a wonderful showy display. Easy to divide. Put a few plants in your garden, you know, buy a potted plant, put a few plants in your garden, and the next year you can divide them. And again, you'll be selling them or giving them to your neighbors and friends. So that's another really good weed to grow.
Yeah. Yep. How about catnip?
Catnip
might already be in your yard already.
The herb for rampaging children.
That's right. That's right. That's what they call
it. That's how I always talk about.
That's what they call it.
Catnip. Everyone thinks of catnip as, you know, the only thing you can do is to give it to your cat and make it go crazy and put a smile on its face. No.
That's great.
For rampaging children. Wonderful nervine herb, settles the kids down.
Yep.
Or people.
Good for tummies, too.
Upset stomach.
Yeah. Yeah. And fever. Fever is a diaphoretic. Oh, no. I don't know if it's a diaphoretic, but isn't it for fever? Catnip tea?
I'm not sure on that
one. I'm not sure either. Okay, forget that one.
That I think that can be seeded pretty easily.
Yeah, yeah, really easily.
That's a good one to seed around. We've seen little volunteers. We call them volunteers. Plants that appear in your garden that the sprouted
planted
from a bird dropping or an animal took it from here to there. It was carried by the wind. Those are volunteers.
Yeah.
Ones that we didn't plant purposefully. so catnip, really a very soft leaves like a cat's ears, very soft, wonderful plant to for its tactile quality as well.
How about angelica?
Oh, angelica's
that's
been
a dramatic plant.
Very dramatic.
Yeah.
Oh,
it gets
wow.
big. It gets to be about, I mean, when the flower stalk goes up, it can be 5-6 feet high. It has big. It looks sort of similar to valerian. The foliage does a little bit.
When it's young, especially.
When it's young, it's a little hard to distinguish. But then it has these big, thick stalks. And the way that it unfolds, it's just gorgeous, just a gorgeous plant. It's, what am I trying to remember? Oh, I can't remember the term. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, the stems have been used traditionally. They used to use it in England a lot and make candied angelica sticks with it. They take the stems and cut them, boil them in sugar water, and then roll them in for an hour or two until they're translucent, and then roll them in granulated sugar. Make them into candy.
Mm.
Angelica's used in, what's it in? It's in Bombay Sapphire still. It's used as a flavoring for a lot of things. Yeah.
Now, we don't talk about Bombay Sapphire gin on this show.
Whoops, and I did not mean to use a product name.
Censored.
Censored, exactly. But yeah, angelica's gorgeous, and angelica's my favorite flower. It has these huge, is it an umbel?
It looks like an exploding fireworks display is what it is, really, and it's about, I'd say, twice the size of a softball.
Yeah, it's enormous.
Less than a basketball, twice the size of a softball. It's just huge.
Beautiful
and
spectacular. And the smell, you can use the leaves actually in cooking, and the smell of the flower I just think is magnificent. It's just
a dramatic
gorgeous.
Adds a little drama to your garden.
It does. It does. It's a big plant. You put it in the back, or someplace where you have big stuff.
Prolific seed production.
Mm-hmm.
So you get fistfuls of seeds.
And the seeds, you can use that plant for a lot of different things. You can use the seeds in a tincture for a stomach tonic. You can use the root for female complaints. You can use.
Yeah, we use the root in our optimum lung.
Yep, that's
tea.
Right, for lung also. Yeah.
It warms the lung.
Yep. It's a really nice warming digestive and expectorant. It's delicious too.
So if you have a cold that's gone into the lungs, angelica would be good for that.
Angelica archangelica is the botanical name.
Yep.
That's a good one. Easy to remember.
Who else have we? Oh, I love butterfly weed or pleurisy root.
That's a nice one.
Asclepias. Now Asclepias is the milkweed family. So it has the pod that the milkweed does, but it's a little bit of a smaller pod. But the same little fluffies that with the seed hanging on it, the little parachutey thing that goes flying around in the wind in the late summer, early fall. But the blossom is this beautiful, brilliant orange, which butterflies, honeybees, and others love to come gather around. So and the root of that, pleurisy root, is for pleurisy, which is inflammation of the pleural sac that encases the lungs. And if that gets dry, and there's a tension or scraping-like feeling, and it's very painful for some people that have pleurisy. But it's a good lung-strengthening and decongesting herb. So we use that in our bronchitis optimum lung formula also.
And that's gorgeous. We're actually giving... that's just a gorgeous plant.
We've been giving seeds away.
Yeah, for that, because it's just so beautiful. And it's there used to be a lot more of it on the Cape. It's native, I think, isn't it?
I remember one of the herb conferences I went to that it used to grow a lot beside the roads, but then they come along with their mowers and chop it all down before it gets to the seed stage, and it's been kind of selected against in that instance. But
once it's established, it grows like crazy on the Cape. It loves drought and sand.
Dry, sandy, sunny locations, you know, a lot of that on the Cape.
Yep. So if you happen to have a dry, sunny, sandy spot in your yard.
Right. Do we still have seeds left?
Yeah, we have seeds left. Yeah,
so come on down to the shop and the farm in Brewster, and I think people that come in there and make some nominal purchase, we'll give them some free pleurisy root seeds.
Gorgeous orange flowers, too. It's got these just electric orange flowers. Uh-oh. Did we forget to mention that this is Herb Talk coming to you from 92.1 WOMR Provincetown
in the old schoolhouse building?
That crazy bells keep going on. So, yeah, butterfly weed. Butterflies love it, too. Butterflies love milkweed, have a particular affinity for milkweed. So you're also helping them out by planting it.
Echinacea, of course, is real easy to grow.
Yeah.
Especially the Echinacea purpurea, which is the broad-leafed Echinacea. There's a narrow-leafed Echinacea called angustifolia.
Yeah.
A little harder to grow. And pallida, meaning pale purple flowers, a little harder to grow. But the Echinacea purpurea, I think, has as much or all the medicinal qualities that angustifolia has. So,
yeah. How about also
easy to grow from seed? Easy to grow from root divisions, and of course, one of the absolute top 10 herbs in this country. Medicinal herbs,
definitely fabulous herb. There's some other stuff. You get some shade. You could grow some golden seal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we just got massive amounts of golden seal.
Right. We have finally, at the farm in Brewster, gotten golden seal to the point of sustainability. We're growing enough that we can harvest enough to make a gallon or two worth
and
of tincture
sell some
yearly.
Plants.
And have plenty left for the next year and have enough to sell a few plants.
Yeah, and it's an endangered herb. Yeah. The more people are growing it, the better. It's a fabulous medicine. Mm. And golden seal is an amazing medicine. But, you know, because the root that is used, a lot of people have been wildcrafting it, not ethically, just taking
not
it
ethically,
all and not leaving enough plants to keep the populations up.
Wiping out
and
populations.
And it's really endangered, so... we're really excited to have a decent population of it now and to be able to sell some plants for anybody who wants to start a little population of their own.
Yep, likes shade.
Yep,
likes a little
shade.
Bit of moisture.
Yep, if you got some woods on your property, you can plant it along the edge of the woods. Likes a lot, like about 65% shade, I think I read. That's what it likes. Blue cohosh is another nice plant if you have a shady spot.
Right.
Another beautiful plant.
These aren't plants that are really, really happy in Cape Cod sandy loam. So I would probably suggest taking some composted leaves, leaf mold, and working it into the soil that you plant these in, and also a good inch or maybe two of that leaf mold over the plant once it's planted. To retain the moisture and to make it feel a little more at home for where it really wants to grow is out
in the woods.
I think hardwood forests.
Yeah, so you want
in a place like Western Mass and out to Ohio and whatnot that like a heavier soil.
Right.
But blue cohosh, I got my first blue cohosh roots out in the Berkshires. Right on the New York, Massachusetts border there, New Lebanon, and brought the roots home. And now we've got some beautiful big plants that have been growing for years, a blue cohosh, another shade lover. And that can be divided as well. You went out and divided.
Yeah, last year.
Just one. We took one of our bigger plants, and Liza divided it up and put it in half a dozen different places, and it seems to be growing.
Yep.
And I'm very excited to say that I also found a volunteer.
A blue cohosh volunteer?
A blue cohosh, yeah, a blue cohosh volunteer that somehow had jumped to 10 feet away from where the blue cohosh patch is.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's great.
And bloodroot.
Oh, that's a beautiful
plant. Bloodroot's another one that's not indigenous to the Cape, but you can get it to grow here. Bloodroot, I got this out in the Berkshires, my original roots, and it likes to grow in that area between the leaf mold and the soil. And it's a root that's about the size of your little finger, and it goes horizontally. It's like a rhizome, and it's very succulent. And when you break that root in half, my God, the juice that comes out of it looks like blood, and that's why they call it blood root. But it likes to grow in shade in that area between the leaf mold and the soil, maybe just slightly into the soil. So, somewhat like a, don't irises grow that way,
right,
too?
That's right.
Part of the root is above ground.
It's a really prehistoric looking plant, I think bloodroot is. You know, it has a really unusual leaf.
And
it's this big, so it looks almost like a lily pad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a little
flower. The flowers come up before the leaf in spring.
Before the leaf
and
unfurls.
And it's one of the first plants to poke above the ground and put out the flowers. So we're always going out there every day in probably April, early April, that it begins to poke up and we go out there and look for it.
It's a nice little harbinger of spring, you know.
Yep.
Once the bloodroot's coming up, you know you're going to make it.
Bloodroot, very good, especially for bronchitis.
Mm-hmm.
For bronchitis.
In very, very low doses. This is a low dose, you call a low dose botanical.
Right. So
low
powerful
dose botanicals
one.
Are strong, and if you take too much, can be toxic. So, not, you know, something you'd want to use
and
with
I found
a supervised.
That the powdered herb. The powdered root of that is used in a very famous thing called a black salve for topical cancers and warts and growths, skin growths. Very, very good.
Yeah.
And we sometimes use it mixed with golden seal or myrrh powder. Myrrh is a gum resin, of course, and golden seal root powder as a topical paste to put on a wart or an infection or a severe fungus. It'll really take care of it.
Yep. Comfrey. We didn't mention comfrey.
Oh, golly.
We're so silly. Comfrey is a terrific herb to grow. It will take over. Comfrey is one.
It is so prolific.
Yep, it's wildly prolific, but it's great. It's gorgeous. You know, it's got big green leaves. Sorry, botanists again. I don't know the
kind of raspy feeling. Raspy.
Yeah, they're a little fuzzy, and it sends up a little flower stalk with blue flowers on it.
You should have this in your garden.
Yep, it's gorgeous, and it's great if you plant. If you have fruit trees, it's great to plant around the base of fruit trees. You don't want grass around the base of fruit trees that robs nitrogen. But the comfrey is fabulous. It really supports the fruit trees. It gives them. It's what's called a dynamic accumulator. And that means it accumulates things like nitrogen and stuff in the soil.
A dynamic accumulator. Whoa, yeah. This sounds like science.
Doesn't it? That's the best I got. And, so comfrey's great. And, you know, we talked in our last show about all the uses for comfrey. Topical things, burns and cuts and dings and all that stuff. It's a cell proliferant. It helps the cells to regenerate more quickly. So it's a nice herb to have in your garden. It's great. You can dry it up and feed it to your chickens, and they'll produce more eggs. You can feed it to cows, and they'll make richer milk. It's really, you can rip
and
a little piece off.
It's very good for a compost.
Very good, because
we're finding out.
It breaks down so quickly, yeah.
It's putrid.
Oh, it smells so bad.
You get this huge tub that came from the old turkey farm in Brewster years ago, and it holds, it must hold 100 gallons or more. And we put a lot of comfrey and nettles in there, and then filled it about third of the way with water, and after 3 days it was so putrid. Whoa, was that decomposing?
Yeah.
Wow.
So fast.
We're using that now to fertilize the rows.
Yeah.
In our plants.
And there's actually someone who comes into the shop who bought a bunch of comfrey plants last year. A gentleman, he said he was doing side by side tests with tomatoes and peppers and pretty much a whole bunch of vegetable plants. He would, every plant he planted, he'd put a little bit of compost, or a little bit of manure, rather, and a comfrey leaf that he would kind of tear up, a fresh comfrey leaf, in the hole of the plant he was planting. Side-by-side tests, he said the plants he planted with the comfrey leaf in the hole did, you know, 2 to 4 times better. He said it was remarkable how much more they grew.
Wow.
Just by doing that. So it's a nice plant to have around for that, you know, if you're doing gardening. If it gets too crazy, you just cut it all off and compost it, and it'll come back.
Oh, it comes back so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great stuff.
Comfrey's a wonderful herb to put. Sun, or we've got some growing in pot shade.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're pretty, you know, that's a nice thing, too. Herbs aren't fussy. Mm. They're pretty flexible, and you can get stuff to grow sometimes with varying degrees of shade and sun.
What else have we got out there? Skullcap?
Yeah, skullcap is pretty.
Skullcap's been a little temperamental. It's one of the best nervine herbs.
Yep.
I believe it likes a little bit of shade and moist area to grow in. One year we had an outrageous crop of it, and then we lost 3/4 of it.
Yeah.
And there's still little sprigs out there. The roots are supposed to be hardy to get through the winter, and they have, but not prolifically.
Right.
Maybe we just haven't found the right home for it yet.
Yeah. But,
that's another good one that you could try growing as skullcap.
Wild, yeah.
Oh, and calendula.
Oh, and calendula. Oh, man. Calendula. Plant calendula everywhere. Just plant it everywhere. It grows so fast.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It's so
marigold.
Gorgeous.
Pot marigold. Or old-fashioned marigold. This is not the African marigold that you get at the garden center, like Sparky and Moonshot and, you know, all those trademark names. This is calendula officinalis. Beautiful yellow and orange flowers, so good for skin things, good for the lymph, and the fragrance. It's not the fragrance of the flower, it's the sticky oil just below the flower on the stem. When you go to pick the flowers, it feels sticky, and then you smell your fingers in the stem of the flower. Oh, it's heavenly. And it grows all over the world. I was in Argentina, it was growing. I was in Thailand and China and everywhere. All over Europe, all over this country. It's such a friendly, prolific. Oh, my gosh. We're running. Oh, it's 2 minutes to go.
Crazy.
Already. Crazy.
What else? Wait, what did we say before calendula? Oh, wild yam. Wild yam is gorgeous. Mm. Partial shade, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful vine. Twining vine. Yep. Beautiful. It has these beautiful deep rib leaves, and that's a nice one. Definitely give
good
it to something to grow up.
Good pain relieving one. Yeah. Good for regulating the hormones.
Oh, hops. Oh, we don't have any hops, some hops at my house. Yeah. Hops vine are supposed to grow 30 feet a season. This is my first season with it, so I'll let you know. But they're gorgeous also, and you get these big strobiles, which are the hops flower, which is what you make beer and stuff out of. And,
well, this is Stephan Brown.
Yeah, and Eliza Travisano.
And we've been bringing you Herb Talk here on WOMR. We're from the Great Cape Medicinal Herb Farm down in Brewster.
Yeah,
please
come
by.
Us.
Learn the plants. That's our purpose here, is to teach you about the plants. Give us a call, 508-896-5900. Come down to the gardens, check out the plants, learn them firsthand, not just from a book, and we'll tell you all about them.
Yeah, and thanks WOMR for letting us do this show.
Here at the old schoolhouse in Provincetown.
92.1.
And we hope to have you tune in, what is it, Wednesdays at 9?
Every other Wednesday, 9 to 9:30.
We'd like to do every week. Wednesdays, 9 to 9:30. So thanks to OMR, and we'll talk to you next show. Bye-bye.
Bye.